It's MLS Monday on Radio Yorkshire. As always, Drew Farmer joins us to talk about the latest action stateside. And Drew, we have to start with yesterday afternoon's fixture in New York City, finally getting the better of the New York Red Bulls in the derby.
Yeah, that's right, Richard. It's been four derbies now that we've seen the New York Red Bulls defeat New York City FC. And earlier this season, we saw the Red Bulls put one on New York City, 7-0. So a little bit of revenge on the mind of New York City, which they got in a 2-0 victory. And I would have to say, Richard, probably the best performance I've seen New York City play, their best performance in their existence in the last 2 years. And they were absolutely able to call on the likes of Pirlo, Lampard, and Villa for this game. And we've seen that in the last few weeks, and it's really improved the side. But over the weekend, that is, it was actually a youngster who really popped up and made his name known, and that was a youngster by the name of Jack Harrison, a 19-year-old Englishman who was playing in MLS. A goal and an assist, a wonderfully taken goal in the eighth minute from a well-worked corner, flicking the ball over the defender before rifling it home, and then setting up David Villa's goal in the 66th minute with a wonderful cross. And New York City looked really, really good over the weekend again, as I said, and Harrison leading the charge with this season now 2 goals and 2 assists in 5 matches. So definitely a player that English fans who are watching MLS should really look out for.
It's strange because I was looking at, I think I must have been watching New York City a couple of weeks ago and saw Harrison on the team sheet and thought, well, he must have come through Manchester City's academy and with the link-up between the two clubs. But no, he's a Manchester United youngster who somehow has found his way to the States. And I guess it's good to see, as much as they've got, obviously, as you mentioned, three superstars of the world game there in Pirlo, Villa and Lampard, that a young player, albeit not American, is coming through and making the headlines as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And back to Harrison real quick. He did move to the U.S. when he was 14, I believe it was, after having a little bit of time with United's youth team. Then he came through the university system here, in the U.S. New York, though, does have a lot of stuff they still need to work on. Again, you were talking about the three big stars. They're very reliant on those players when they're in the side, especially Villa, who has scored most of the goals this season, 12 goals for New York City. That's 41% of all goals they've scored. And defensively, though they were good over the weekend, they've got to still improve in this area. They're tied for the league lead in most goals conceded with 31. So, you know, they may be top of the Eastern Conference today, but it's only as good as that defense will hold up. But Patrick Vieira does have them playing a possession-based attack this season. They are second in the league with 53.5% possession, and he's really changing things up, and I think his tactics are really starting to take root with New York City.
If we head from New York to Montreal, what a topsy-turvy game there. 3-2 winners over New England.
Yeah, that's right. New England raced out to an early lead through Ki Kamara, who they had signed just about a couple of months ago. He got his first goal with New England. He got his first goals with them, a first half brace. But Montreal raced back with 2 goals through Michael Salazar and then Ignacio Piatti, putting them ahead with a penalty in the second half. And Montreal are a very good side, but it's just the consistency that a lot of MLS teams are finding it hard to find, during the regular season. At the moment, they are unbeaten in their last 4 games. But they've got to find a way to turn a lot of those draws that they're getting into wins. Currently third place in the Eastern Conference, though, just 3 points off top spot. Again, very good team. They were playing without Didier Drogba over the weekend, and they have shown that even without their big star, they can still put points on the board.
Then we look at the likes of New England, Columbus Crew, and Seattle, who are perhaps not in great. I mean, Seattle, rock bottom of the Western Conference at the moment. What's the problem with those clubs? What's happening to their form, and how can they turn it around?
Well, Seattle's just a mess, really, is the best way to sum it up, Richard. Only one win in their last six, and they're reliant, very reliant on a youngster, a rookie this year by the name of Jordan Morris. He scored 6 goals this season, and really the goal scoring has been their problem, because over the offseason they had sold Obafemi Martins to Shanghai Xinhua in China, and he was such an important player in front of goal for them, and they really not replaced that. And Clint Dempsey, I have to say, has been a massive disappointment, only 2 goals this season, no assists, and that's really something that Seattle has to fix in the summer here. In terms of teams such as Columbus, they traded away Keith Kamara, as we were just saying, after some altercations with him on and off the field. And, you know, Columbus, again, they're a team that is finding it hard to find consistency. Turning draws into wins is what they've got to do. And they were in the MLS Cup final a year ago, but they don't look like a team that's going to come anywhere near that this year with the team that they've got out there.
I mean, looking at the top scorers in the MLS at the moment, and I guess this is the kind of thing we talk about with England and their exit from the Euros and the number of foreign players in the competition, but I guess America had a successful Copa America campaign and into the semi-finals, and I look at the top scorers list and not very many Americans in there.
No, I'm looking at the list as well, and in the top 10 it looks like Chris Wondolowski, who comes in at number 10 with 7 goals this season, is the only American. We've got David Villa leading with 12 goals for New York City FC, and as I said before, very reliant on him in New York City, and if they really want to make a push for the MLS Cup this season, they're going to either need to keep him very healthy, wrap him in cotton wool, or find someone else who can take that pressure off him. I mean, we saw Jack Harrison do that over the weekend, so perhaps that could be the case for them. But the other top goal scorers that we see, Ignacio Piatti at Montreal, Bradley Wright Phillips, I mean, some of these names we've seen over the last couple of years, but as you were saying, we're not seeing a lot of Americans crack that top 10 in goal scoring in the MLS this season.
Just speaking of the American national team, Jurgen Klinsmann's been linked with the England job heavily in the press over here. What do American football fans, so to speak, make of that? And are they happy to see Klinsmann continue in that role?
Well, to be honest, I think a lot of the people that I follow on Twitter and a lot of the fans that I talk to and other pundits on U.S. soccer, I think they'd be quite happy to see him go, because there's kind of a sense that he's not really improved the side as much as would have been liked. You know, the team, though they made it to the semifinals of the Copa America and they'd done well at the last World Cup, I just think that the idea that tactically and the way that the players have been developed under him just isn't really happening. And there's been some players who have come out, some MLS players such as Benny Fallhaber, who has come out saying that, you know, he doesn't understand why he's not been picked and for the U.S. national team and why Klinsmann favors certain players over ones who look in form. And I don't really think that he rates the MLS as highly as maybe some other coaches in the past, such as a Bob Bradley or a Bruce Arena. So I think a lot of people wouldn't be too sad to see him go. And to be honest, I'm quite surprised to see such heavy links to him here in the U.K., I really think that he'd be a coach that England should shy away from.
Interesting. Looking at it's a difficult one to judge anyway, who will be the next England manager. But getting back to the MLS and looking at this week's fixtures, what are the games, if we're at a loose end and we have the access, which games should we be looking at to watch this weekend?
Well, I would look at, we got some midweek fixtures coming up, and I'd take a look at FC Dallas and Orlando City. They're going to be playing, it looks like tonight, because it is the 4th of July in the USA. Dallas has been really good this season. Not a lot of big names there, a lot of players who have come through either their academy or the university system or from South America, but they've really put together a really strong team in Dallas. And then I'd also, if I'm, you know, proposing some games for some people to take a look at, I'd take a look at LA Galaxy and the Vancouver Whitecaps. Galaxy, always one of the top teams in MLS, though, currently in sixth place in the Western Conference on 16 points. Again, another one of those teams that is finding consistency very difficult to find, but they've got all those big names, your Steven Gerrards, your Dos Santos, and Robbie Keane perhaps might be back after his trip to the Euros.
I'm sure he's very reticent of me not to wish her a happy Independence Day, Drew. And I'm sure the forefathers, when they were writing up that Declaration of Independence, could only imagine that in a couple of hundred years' time we'd be talking about soccer in America on radio in the UK. So, Drew, have a good rest of your 4th of July. And thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Richard. You too.